I was thinking this week of what drew me to Christ. And when I was thinking about that, I draw from, for my example in my life and what I try to draw in my ministry as I serve and preach and teach and I learn. And I take that, my examples from Christ is that of his examples of welcome and acceptance for who I am. And the knowledge that he shared freely to those who were willing to join in on the discipleship and sit beside him. And that piece of loving to give of himself to others and healing those who sought him. And the willingness to talk to the outcast, those deemed by society as lowly. And I love the fact that he flipped the scales on how people understood God. And those how and how they related to God. And like each of us gathered today, he gathered the disciples who joined him. And they were imperfect, but they were given multiple opportunities to be made perfect in their relationship with God through Christ. And as they were journeying to Jerusalem with Christ, we are able in these 40 days of Lent to also journey with Christ and learn and grow and to discover new things. And in this time with that Christ has with his disciples, he's trying to prepare them for what they will be facing and what he will be facing ultimately on his way to the cross. And he's taking time to draw them aside and find teachable moments of things that they witnessed. Because there's a lot of things that they just witnessed. Not only did they witness the transfiguration, but some of them did. They witnessed the unclean spirit and the inability to withdraw the unclean spirit. But they saw all these things and they're just kind of in this days and glaze of things. And he keeps telling them of things that has to happen, not only to him, but to them. And they're just kind of in this discombobulated state. So Christ is drawing them aside and giving them these moments to just listen and to find those teachable moments to help them understand what they have to learn and what they have to understand before they move on to the next steps. And each moment that they are encountering are interconnected to the power of God's realm coming to earth. And especially drawing on key elements of God's realm, of that nourishing that needs to take place for people. The nourishment of food, promises of health and wholeness to the powerless. And when we think about this, it was revolutionary to their time, which is causing the stirring up of the Pharisees and the religious leaders against Christ. Because it's stirring up the power of the balance of power. It's causing this uncomfortableness because this is not what has happened. This shouldn't be happening to them. Because it's going against what they understood. And in all of this, Christ continues to try to make his point. That this is gifts of God, new promises being made, the covenant that was made not only to Adam, but to Moses, and to Abraham, and Sarah, and David, and the Davidic line. All these promises and these covenants have been and are being completed, and a new covenant is going to be made. And he's on in this revisioning mission, as I said, of making this health and wholeness available to all. And he's trying to pass this vision on to his disciples. And the disciples, for all their willingness to follow Christ, are still processing all they've encountered thus far. And thus, it becomes a teaching moment for the disciples. Because they've been told what to expect. They've been told that Christ must suffer and die. And that he must die on the third day and be rose again. And as I said, they've encountered all these things, and they still just, like I said, there's just all this information going on in their minds, and they're still just going, this doesn't make sense. And for all they've experienced, there's just these moments that they're still not getting. And on the way to this, where they're at in this house, they're squabbling about who's the greatest. Who's the greatest of all out of Elijah and Moses and Jesus, and who's the greatest disciple, who gets to sit by his right hand? And Christ is just like, again, not the most important thing to be discussing about. And he understands that, and he understands what they're going through, and he's just trying to give them these times to process and to share his knowledge with them. And right now, he's trying to give them, throughout his ministry, and right now, he's trying to give them a concise statement of the principles that they can process and hold on to later. So for now, he's bringing a young child into their midst, and he says, "Whoever welcomes such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." So Christ is embracing the child and is opening a gateway of multiple dimensions of exploring who is deemed as a child. And if we think about it, for Christ himself is God's beloved child. And if we think further than that, we are God's beloved children. In our multiple stages of life, in if we're new to the faith, old to the faith, our status for those in society, their status of servitude, they were considered childlike. And in that time, too, there was immediate offspring. The disciples would be called child, the little children, the new to the faith. When Jesus was embracing the Father from last week, that receiving and welcoming. And approving one such child in my name, and indeed Christ himself. So that welcoming of those, as we said, those who are different, those who would not otherwise have place of status. And it is emphasizing on the necessity of welcoming the other, those deemed lowly by society in his name. Those acts of service, that we are graciously accepting others. That welcoming peace of showing Christ's light and love to those who've never experienced it. And it will look different for each of us and how we show that and how it is accepted. And that is what Christ is trying to help the disciples to see. That it will look different from how they've experienced it and have encountered it before. And I'd like to think, for us, I'd like us to think of examples from our past that we've shown Christ's light and love to others. And they've been in different ways and in different forms in the past. And of ways that we continue to show Christ's light and love to others. And new ways that we're entering into and envisioning. Because as Martin Luther tells us, and Bonhoeffer, that we're continually reforming and transforming in our faith. And as the Holy Spirit breathes new life into us, continually reforming and transforming us envisioning for us new ways to show Christ's light and love for us and to us for others. So when we enter into fellowship with Christ, we become sharers in his spirit for others, with others. Not only intentionally in these 40 days, what it might look like beyond. So my question for us this day and for this week is, how are we continually drawn to Christ and what that might look like for us? Amen.